On March 25th, 2024, the USDA announced the highly pathogenic avian influenza was detected in dairy cattle in several southwestern states. Here to tell us more about the situation, symptoms to watch for, safety of dairy products, and the next steps is Keith Polson. He's the director of Wisconsin Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory. Well, Keith, can you start our conversation talking about the highly pathogenic avian influenza that has been found in dairy cattle in Texas, Kansas, and possibly now New Mexico?
Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners today. The most important things to remember here are one, dairy cattle, we don't see a lot of mortality, so we don't see cows that are dying. Very different than highly pathogenic avian influenza in our domestic poultry. And two, this is really important, is that dairy products are safe to consume when pasteurized, just like any other dairy product is. They're safe for human consumption post-pasteurization. And then any beef that comes out of cull dairy cows is also safe for human consumption with proper cooking. So now, with that being said, you know, we have a very large group of people and agencies working on this problem, and we started noticing what we would call an unusual morbidity event or an unusual increase in dairy cattle illness in the southwestern part of the United States approximately 4 to 6 weeks ago. And about 3 weeks ago is when we started putting together working groups across the country to help find out what was going on in those farms in the panhandle of Texas, Kansas, and New Mexico. So this is a new event. We consider it a novel scientific event. We haven't seen highly pathogenic avian influenza in ruminant species at this point. There was that one report of a dairy goat kid in Minnesota, but we think that's a very separate event. We also have seen avian influenza in other mammalian carnivores from scavenging dead birds, but they present very differently. They tend to present with neurologic disease and death, and these cows are presenting more with being off feed and with a decreased milk production, and they have a very low mortality associated with the illness.
Keith, what are some of the symptoms that the cattle have when they are infected with avian influenza?
This is a really interesting event because the cows that are most likely to be affected are in their second lactation or older, and they usually are 150 days in milk, so mid to late lactation. And we don't see fresh heifers with clinical signs. We don't see transition cows. We don't see rearing young stock. We don't see any steers. There's no beef cattle reported, no dry cows, which is interesting, right? Because typically we think of the transition cows and the baby calves mm-hmm. as being where we focus on our disease management. Most of the dairies in the most prevalently affected states, those are they're pretty large herds, and they're very progressive, and they have some great technology. So a lot of these herds are being detected with their rumination monitors. So the first thing that happens is the computer is flagging cows because their rumination is dropping and their feed intake is dropping. Just like any other cow that has a decrease in feed intake, that's the next time that cows are really being pulled to be looked at into the hospital pen, is that their milk conductivity rises, and likely because we're seeing about a 20% milk drop. Now, so because it's a really unique kind of signalment for a group of cows on the farm, we are seeing about 10% of those cows that it's been reported anywhere from 3 to 30, but I think we're really looking at about 10% of those cows, second lactation or greater than 150 days in milk. So when they're pulled via either the rumination monitor or the milk conductivity in the parlor, is that they go out and they do now physical exams. And the most common finding that we see are elevated rectal temperatures, so they have a fever. With just a rectal thermometer, their body temperatures are being measured, and typically they're in that 103 up to 106 degrees Fahrenheit. We've had reports of higher temperatures, but most of them are going to be in that 103 to 106 range. Now, on a farm, typically they reach peak incidence of disease by 4 to 6 days after they find the first cow, and then they tend to taper off within 10 to 14 days. So, and the cows do recover. Some come back into milk. Those cows that are later in lactation, it's just like any other cow that has like a mastitic event or anything like that. Later in lactation, if they drop in milk, it's hard to bring them back into profitable production.
And do we know how these cows got in contact with avian influenza?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And we've noted that in this particular strain of avian influenza has been circulating in North America now since 2022. It's been one of the most severe and devastating foreign animal disease outbreaks in U.S. history. And we're seeing other mammals and other birds, actually, like bald eagles, from scavenging carcasses, dead birds, from dead migratory birds. Now, we think this is a little bit different. And the most important evidence that we have here is that we are able to take those viruses and we can sequence them at the National Lab in Ames, Iowa. And that evidence on the sequence is that there are no mammalian markers for the flu virus. So that's really telling to show that the cows are very unlikely to be actually spreading disease to other cows. So then that kind of leads that question back to your original question is, well, where are they getting it from? Mm-hmm. And I think our most likely source is in the water. So whether or not they're sharing waters where migratory birds are coming through, sharing the waters. One thing that we don't see in Wisconsin that is very common in the West and Southwest are utter wash pens prior to going into the parlor. So there's, and they're very point source water supplies. So that's very different than what we see in Wisconsin. So in Wisconsin, we have lots of lakes and rivers, and there's more standing water where the migratory birds come through on the river flyways. In the Southwest, where we're seeing more of these cases, it's essentially High Plains Desert. So it's very dry, not a lot of water, and the dairies are either on dry lots or they're in freestalls, but their barns are very different from Wisconsin as well, where freestall barns in the northern part of the country are constructed very differently because of winter versus summer.
And is there any treatment for these dairy cattle that are infected?
Just like any other virus, we do have antivirals for people, whether it's for COVID or influenza. But in cattle, you know, they're food-producing species, so we don't typically use specific antiviral treatments because they're very expensive. You know, dealing with a 1,500 to 2,000-pound animal, the antivirals would be very cost-prohibitive. So we're kind of left with supportive care, which is what essentially is the grand majority of what we treat people with as well. So we use things like non-steroidals like Flunixin or meloxicam, and then make sure the cows are hydrated, because a lot of these cows are very dehydrated as well. And even when you think about GI flu, we typically think about diarrhea. And that we do see that a little bit, but we see more dry, tacky stool, which really points towards the cows being dehydrated.
A lot of farms, you know, send their cattle elsewhere to be raised and then bringing them back after they have their first calf. What biosecurity measures should farms put in place to protect their herds here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's a good question, because we have a couple of different types of cattle owners that will move animals all over the country. And a lot of because it's a bad time to be raising calves in Wisconsin right now, right? Because it's rainy and cold. And then it will be warm one day and it'll be cold the next. And then we also have high genomic merit cows that are moving around to propagate genetic advancement. So our advice to those animals, there's good news, is that really we're not moving around cattle that are in lactation. We're moving around young stock, and then the cattle that are moving back into Wisconsin typically are going to be, you know, springing heifers. We haven't really seen infection in this type of animal, so I think that risk is relatively low. And then it's the same thing when we're moving around baby calves for some of our genetics clients, is that we don't see disease in those animals, so I think that's very low. Now, even though the risk is low, we still have really high vigilance. And things that we should be looking for, we always recommend having good biosecurity on the farm. And with that, if possible, a lot of farms don't have this type of facilities and capacity, but if they can be in some sort of a different facility or a quarantine on the farm for somewhere between 14 to 21 days. I think 21 days is the most conservative estimate. And I'm not talking about a state-imposed quarantine. I'm just talking about maybe a barn that the animals would stay in before they go into the general population. It's been pretty consistent across most states is that the state of Wisconsin will not quarantine farms if they were to see a positive. And again, I do think that's a low-medium risk that we will see anything in Wisconsin. And then we also, what should we be looking for? I would be looking for the same things that we were seeing in some of our southwest states, animals going off feed. They might drop in milk production. If they're not lactating, they'll go off feed. And then you could do rectal temperature monitoring, and then you'd probably see a fever. We're still going to have to pick apart what's the difference between just baseline illness on a dairy versus potentially a new disease. And in that case, we really need to involve the veterinarian on the herd to really think about, does this fit a case definition of this new disease event that we're seeing in a very select part of the country? And if that is, I mean, we could take calls about this on a regular basis, then we'll contact the Department of Animal Health. And we work very closely with Dr. Conkle and her team. And we do have diagnostic tests available at this time that can help either do screening or test for disease. And from that, I think that the best test that we have right now is a PCR on milk samples, recognizing that not all animals could be in lactation, although the vast, vast majority of them in the Southwest are all lactating cows, is that we can do serology, so that means looking at the blood, and we can also do nasal swabs for PCR or a molecular test.
I know we shouldn't live in the what-if world, but let's say a lot of farms do have some of those that technology where they're tracking the rumination and they have an inkling that their farm might have come in contact with avian influenza. What are some steps that they should take if they feel their farm is infected?
The first thing that we should do is contact the herd veterinarian and work out what we might be seeing. We need to rule out kind of common causes. But if we really do think that this fits the case definition, we have federal funds available to provide testing to either rule it in or rule it out. Like I said, I think it's going to be a low to moderate risk. I'm hoping it will be more low. A lot of our migratory birds are moving quite rapidly north through the state because all the ice is gone and the weather has been relatively warm. But really talking to your veterinarian, and then we talked to the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. It's important to know that it's not an actionable disease at this point, but we certainly don't want to miss it, because if it is here, we want to be able to know about it and track it. So we really don't want to ignore it. And then really, we also want to know if it's something else, right? Because it could be baseline, and that could have a different treatment or management strategy.
I want you to emphasize this a point again for our consumer audience that's listening. Is the meat and dairy products associated with a cow that has been infected with avian influenza still okay to consume?
Yes. So those dairy and meat products are okay to consume, assuming that it is pasteurized milk products that we're consuming. With the one exception, and we talked about this with the cheesemakers, is that we have aged raw cheeses. And with the chemistry of how those aged raw cheeses are actually produced, those are considered safe as well. And that's the most important part, I really think, for the health kind of state of our state's main industry, is that it's wholesome, nutritious, and safe. And then the second part, cows are not dying. They do get sick. They drop in milk. And it is a threat to the cattle health, but they aren't dying. And then I think the third part is that we have a lot of resources to help out there, and please reach out if there's any suspicion. Even if we're just ruling it out, we're more than happy to look into that and help keep Wisconsin dairy moving.
Last question for you, Keith, and just like you mentioned, we have a whole team of professionals, researchers, veterinarians that are working on this and that are all put in place before instances like this happen. What are the next steps for your team and working together to make sure this doesn't get out of hand?
We're part of several national working groups and part of the National Animal Health Laboratory Network. A lot of what we're doing, and that was just what I was on that call right before I started to talk to you, of making sure everyone's on the same page. Our number one goal is to make sure that the information that gets out to the public and our farmers and veterinarians is accurate. We want to make sure everyone has the same information. And then as we move through the disease, I think we'll know more on the disease epidemiology to really hone in on whether or not where the cows were affected. Are they infecting other cows? Is the virus changing a little bit? We know that flu viruses change, but we have a very intense infrastructure on there. And I do think, you know, I talked about the three important points. I'm going to add a bonus important point in there, is that there are no reports of human infection of this virus on any of the affected farms. There are reports of people with flu-like illness, but none of them have tested positive. We do see that sometimes on poultry farms where we'll have someone with a cold, they'll test positive, but we don't recognize this as a significant risk to public human health as well, whether it be dairy products or from being exposed to the cows. And I think that's really important for everyone to know.
Well, we appreciate your time, Keith. We've been talking with Keith Polson. He's the director of Wisconsin Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory. We'll make sure that we drop a link in this description with more information for our consumers and our farmers. We appreciate your time, Keith, today, and thank you so much for being on top of this and protecting our precious agricultural community.
Thanks for having me on. Please let me know if you have questions.
Thank you for tuning in to the Wisco Ag News Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe and rate us on your favorite podcast app. And that's your connection to agriculture. I'm Joanna Guza.